Amen. It's good to be saved.
Amen.
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 Yes, I got it right here. I'm sitting over there shaking like a leaf. Why? Because I know this is exactly what the Lord wanted me to preach this morning. And Pastor and I talked a week ago Wednesday night and wanted to preach on the bus ministry. What the bus ministry is all about, and things like that. And you know the devil's real, especially when you're trying to do something for the Lord.
Yeah.
And for the last week and a half, I've been fighting the devil of, thank you, brother. Been fighting the devil, and the enemy's been attacking, and I've been nervous. Pastor asked me this morning if I was nervous, and I am. I woke up this morning nervous. For the last week and a half, I have not been nervous. Anyway, it's the responsibility of a preacher to preach the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
2 Timothy 4:2. And the idea, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, charged Timothy to preach the Word, right? Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And in simple terms, layman's terms, it is responsibility of the preacher to deliver a particular thought to the hearer that will drive deep down in their soul. Why? So that you'll change. When you walk out these doors, you'll be a different person than what you were when you came in.
Amen?
Amen? Amen. That's the purpose of preaching. It'll change you. Hopefully the preacher has prayed. He's been inspired by the Holy Spirit. He has studied. Now he's going to deliver it. Hopefully, you'll get a blessing out of it. I want to ask my father if he would stand up and pray for us this morning. And while he prays, I'd ask the other men to pray for me. I have a thought that I want to preach this morning, and hopefully it'll change your life.
Amen.
Go ahead, Dad.
Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you, Dad. If you have your Bible, open your Bibles to the book of Jude. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, Revelation. Jude has only one chapter. I'm going to take one verse out of there and use it for a text. The book of Jude. I got to take off this coat. I'm sweating. Jude. One verse, verse 22, the Bible says here, and of some have compassion, making a difference. And the motto of the bus ministry has been, since we took over it, making a difference. One day I'm hoping that we can put on the buses, making a difference.
Amen.
When people see it going down the roads, that they'll know it's a church about making a difference.
That's right.
Why not?
Amen.
Isn't that what we are to do? Isn't that what we are trying to do?
Amen.
We're trying to make a difference in people's lives. And our pastor has been trying to make a difference in people's lives for the last 30 years being in this church.
Amen.
You've heard the testimonies. You've heard the history. You've heard the stories. People that he runs into. People you run into. Oh, you go to that church. Pastor Ryman still. You know the story. He's been trying to make a difference in people's lives for years now. And like so many of you throughout the years, you've been busy trying to make a difference in people's lives.
Amen?
Amen?
Yeah.
You ought to be.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, we have VBS, VBS Fun Day. Brother Jim, Miss Judy, they go, they all year long, they're preparing for VBS.
That's right.
for VBS Fun Day, funds taken out of their own pockets, praying all year long, not just a week before Fun Day or a week before VBS, all year long they're preparing, they're recruiting, they're trying to get people lined up, they're trying to get things, you get you excited about the Fun Day and VBS, right, week long, where the buses go out and the people come in here, it's a little, now it's cooler in the gym, but you know what I'm talking about. Why? Because they want to make a difference in
Amen.
People's lives.
Amen,
hey, we have Kitty Camp. Brother Tom, I know this is what the Lord wanted me to preach this morning. Brother Tommy and Miss Anna. I forgot her name. I'm sorry, Anna. Anyway, they're trying to make a difference. She heard what she said 18 years ago, and now they're involved. It started with Squeaky, Brother John, Miss Holly. All these years of having Kitty Camp, all the years of being out there in the rain, right? It rained every day, right? Going on the trips and losing kids at whatever that place was, Great Six Flags, wherever it was. Hey, why do they do all these things? Making a difference.
Amen.
They want to make a difference. Hey, we have Teen Camp. We have youth rallies. We have Youth Ablaze and much, much more that we do for the teenagers. Why? Gym night. Why? Making a difference.
Amen.
Want to make a difference in somebody's life. We have the nursing homes that Brother Ron and or Uncle Ron and my father-in-law Squeaky go to, and some of you other guys, Brother Mike and different ones that go to the nursing home. Why?
Yeah.
You want to make a difference in somebody's life.
Amen.
Amen? We have Brother Eddie at Heads Up Sunday School in Junior Church and praise all the time, praise week in, week out for the Sunday School, for the right teachers to be in the right place, to get the material that the teachers would need, all those different things. Why? Making a difference.
Amen, brother.
Making a difference. Miss Laura on Wednesday night took over this thing, I don't know what the thing's called, but it's for the kids. Why? Making a difference. Sunday night basketball. Brother Clinton and the other guys that get involved over there, they're trying to make a difference in these young men that come out and play ball on Sunday night. Making a difference. We have revivals. We go to revivals. I'll tell you what, this morning I was here early, and there was a truck parked out here, and I saw a young lady in it. And I was waiting for the people to show up for the bus route, and out of curiosity, I pulled up to the truck and asked her if she was okay. And she said, yeah, and I met her, Anne Marie, right? Anne Marie. And she said that, she said, Brother Joe and Miss Linda said I'd come up here. And I was like, who's she talking about, Brother Joe? Then it dawned on me, Joe Rakowski and Miss Nunn had invited her to come up. I'm jumping ahead of myself. Now, I'll hold on a second. But they're trying to make a difference. Trying to make a difference in people's lives.
Amen.
You hear about the homeless man this morning. You know, they go out on Saturday nights to try to make a difference in
That's
people's
right.
lives. You see them, hey, some of you were drunks. Some of you were drug addicts. Amen. And somebody is trying to go out, Brother Eric and Brother Joe and the rest of you, go out, Alex, go out, try to make a difference in people's lives. You have folks that supply material for you to hand out. Brother Ken, Miss Tiffany, take care of the bookstore and the tracks. Why? Making a difference.
That's right.
We have missionaries that we support all over this world trying to make a difference.
That's right.
We have a bus ministry. I'm the bus director. We are trying to make a difference
Amen.
In people's lives. Every ministry we have here is trying to make a difference. From the guys who show up an hour before the buses even arrive, Brother Joe and Brother Eddie and Alex down there putting things together in the oven, getting some food together for the bus kids that arrive on the buses. To folks that clean the church, that to people that give over and over and over, over and above. Every last one of you trying to make a difference.
Amen, brother.
If you're a Bible believer and you know your Bible, you'll be about trying to make a difference.
That's right.
In people's lives. Amen. Some of you are all in. Amen.
Amen.
Some of you are halfway in. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, Brother Joe. And some of you just don't care.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
Some of you just don't care. I know it. I see it. I hear it from my bus captains, from the bus workers. I hear it. I see it. It's a shame. We're living in a day, and it's been bad and perilous times. You know, 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 7, we are living in perilous times, and it's getting worse. We're surrounded by atheists, liberals, humanists, evolutionists, sodomites, a sissified religious crowd, Joel Osteen, you know, and all them smiling, the Joyce Myers and the Creflo Dollar and Benny Hinn and all them so-called preachers who are sending thousands of souls to devil's hell.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right.
We got cults. We're bombarded by cults. A culture that has inbred society to get what you can get. Amen?
Yeah.
We live in an entitlement society.
Yeah.
Get what you can get. I'm sick of it.
Yeah.
I'm entitled to this and I'm entitled to that. No, you are not. It's a sin-soaked, sick society that we live in.
Yeah.
And these kids and those drunks and those drug addicts and these teens that go to high school, they're surrounded by all that stuff. Amen?
Yeah.
You know they are. Yeah. These people defy God. They dispute the Bible. They deny Christ. They denounce Christian Judaism's ethics. They despise authority. They decry discipline, defend the devil. They discredit moral teaching, defame the church, and dilute the gospel. These people are sick, and they're out to destroy our lives. Hey, listen, they are deliberate, decisive, and determined to do what? To make a difference for the wrong. And we have the real stuff. We have the remedy.
That's right. That's good.
Souls are being wrecked. Churches are weak, and our homes are in want. Now, I'm not talking about being too soft, and I'm not talking about being too hard. I'm not against being soft-spoken and being kind. I'm not against being hard and hard preaching, hellfire and damnation and all that stuff. I'm not about that. But our society, our culture, their aim is to make a difference in what they believe. Look at the ads and the propagandas and the Super Bowl ads and everything. And you know what I'm talking about. I don't have to elaborate on it. You know what I'm talking. This Chevy truck over here is better than this one. They want to make a difference in your life by giving you a better truck or a better car or a better brand of cereal, whatever it might be. This is our society.
Yeah.
They're making a difference. We ought to be making a difference too.
Yeah, that's
what capitalism is, by the way, right? As I said, folks, you and I have the real deal.
That's right. Amen.
You and I have the remedy. Amen?
Amen.
You and I have the right stuff to make a real difference. What makes the difference? Glad you asked.
Amen.
Jude 22. And of some have what?
Compassion.
And of some have compassion, making a difference. According to Webster's, the old 1828 dictionary, compassion is suffering with another. Painful sympathy, a sensation of sorrow excited by the distress or misfortunes of another. Pity, compassion is a mixed passion, compounded of love and sorrow. Compassion means to feel love and mercy toward another, to have sympathy and a desire to relieve the suffering of another, to show kindness and tenderness. Jesus had compassion on the sick. He had compassion on the sinful. He had compassion on the brokenhearted. He had compassion on the lonely, the discouraged, and the lost. Jesus had compassion. Aren't we to be like him? 40 times the word compassion is found in your Bibles. I'm kind of big on this kind of stuff, looking up stats. I'll get in some stats here in a minute and things like that. But I do word searches and study things like that. But 40 times the word compassion, 20 times in the Old Testament and 20 times in the New Testament. I thought that was kind of odd. Two times compassion is found. The Bible says in Psalm 78:38, but he, being full of compassion,
Amen,
forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. God, I could testify right there. So many times he had compassion on me. And when I pray, thank you, Lord, for your mercy, your grace. Thank you for your compassion on me.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Lord could have just taken me. He could have sent me to hell before I got saved. All the things that, you know, you've heard the testimony before, and every one of you got a testimony or a story. How many times this God full of compassion forgave your iniquity?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
The Bible says in Psalm 86, verse 15, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth.
Amen.
Amen. Bible says in Psalm 111, verse 4, he hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of what?
Compassion.
Full of what?
Compassion.
Full of what?
Compassion.
Compassion. For Psalm 112, verse 4, he is gracious and full of compassion. Bible says in Psalm 145, verse 8, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. I think he's full of compassion.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Lamentations 3:22. Most of you know this verse. It's a good verse to memorize and quote. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Why? Because his compassions fail not. 1 Peter 3, verse 8 says, finally, be ye all, this is to the church, to you, Christian, finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Amen?
Amen.
Matthew 9:36, Matthew 14:14, Jesus moved with compassion. Mark 1:41 and Mark 6:34, you'll find where he moved with compassion when he saw the multitudes. There was I think I got this someplace else. Let me just move on. Compassion causes you to look and to see others. And I don't mean just like me looking at Brother Billy here. It means to look past them. You have no idea what they're going through. And every one of us are going through something.
Yeah.
Amen? There might be somebody who's sick in the family. You're thinking, you're not going to, when you raise your hand for unspoken prayer requests, you don't know. The Lord knows what it is. And you ought to have, that's what compassion means. You look at that.
Amen.
You look to that and see that. Compassion causes you to think, consider, reflect of another person or on another person. You may, as I just said, you may have no idea what's going on in someone's life, what hurt or heartache is going on. Use Brother Joe for an example on the street, and Eric. Out there, they're street preaching, and David, and the rest of you people that go out on the street preaching. And you know that they're belligerent, amen? They reek, homeless. That's a shame. It is a shame. We ought to have compassion on them. But those guys and those ladies that go out there, you know what they do? They look past that.
That's right, amen.
And they reflect. They think, I used to be there, for one. Maybe not, but for one. Right, Eric? We've been there. And number two, you consider, what can I do? What can I do to make a difference in this person's life?
Amen.
Right? You have no idea. Soft answer, kind words, tenderness, mercy. That's why this church does what it does.
That's right.
Compassion causes you to give, to go out of the way for another. Amen? When we have revivals and offerings come in, or we have the VBS and the ladies step up and make desserts, and we have food to come in, all the dinner on the grounds, all those different things, people are given. That's compassion, my friend.
Amen.
It causes you to give, to go out of the way for another person.
Thank God.
Compassion causes you to pray.
Amen.
For others. Causes you to pray. I see this young man come up down here and pray the last couple times. I come up here to pray with him. I know nothing about him. I just want to pray with him. Amen. Show him some love, some compassion.
Amen.
Causes you to pray for others and pray with others. Amen? Compassion lets others know of a loving God who sent his son to die on the cross for their sin. That's compassion.
Amen.
You might want to write this down somewhere. It's a quote that I've heard a long time ago. I don't know where I exactly heard it from. But those who deserve love the least need it the most.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
Think about that for a minute. Let me say it again. Those who deserve love the least need it the most.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
24 million children live in a home without a dad in this country. That's one out of three. Children living in a home without a dad are four times greater risk of living in poverty. They're more likely to have behavior problems. They're at a two times greater risk of infant mortality. They're more likely to go to prison. They're more likely to commit a crime. They're seven times more likely to get pregnant. Seven times more likely to be a daddy. Living in a home without a dad are more likely to face abuse and neglect. They're more likely to abuse drugs and alcohol. Two times more likely to suffer obesity. And two times, I don't agree with this, it's probably more than this, but two times are more likely to drop out of school. It make you weep. You look at these statistics that you can Google and find out things about. I believe what I read, you know, what I see. And you look around you, you can see it in society. These things are, I believe they're facts, you know. I've been in bus ministry for a long, long, long time. And I can't begin to tell you how many times that I've been into a home or come to a door and you don't know where the mom and dad is. You don't know where the dad is. I just had the pleasure of coaching Pee Wee Little League for Dover this last season. We got our last game on Tuesday night. And I know I got a lot going on, but the vice president, Pee Wee, asked me to join the board this August for Dover Little League because they need men that have a desire like I do and to help. And I don't know how, I mean, I've been to every game besides the games. I went to Florida and did that job, but and my wife could testify, and Amanda, Esther was there a couple times, and Bryce was there maybe, and Pop Squeaky was there. How many dads are not there? How many dads are not there?
Yeah.
I mean, I got like three or four dads come to the game, but there's 12 kids on the team.
Yeah.
Where are the dads at? That's a shame. That's sad.
Yeah.
What can make the difference? And if some have compassion, making a difference. Quite possibly one third of the kids that you see on Sunday morning come from a home where there's no dad.
Yeah.
You think 60 kids, there's 20 kids that probably don't have a dad at home. You think about VBS when we have as many as 200, 150, 200 kids here during that week. One third of them, possibly one third, maybe just a quarter of them, have no dad at home. And when we see them, we don't have no compassion on them sometimes. They're noisy, they're disruptive, disrespectful. Compassion is what changed our life.
Amen.
Amen.
Compassion, at the very least, will cause you to pray for them.
Amen.
Amen? What moves you? What moves you? Three in 10 teen girls will get pregnant before the age of 18. 3 in 10 teen girls will get pregnant. 750,000 a year. 50,000 never finish school. Or 50% never finish school. 25% of those teen mothers within 2 years of their first pregnancy will have their second by a time that they're 19. In 2014, the statistics were 1 in 16 births of 15 and 19-year-old girls were the girls who already had a child. Only have their second child by the time of 19. And not even the daddy in the life. Less than 2% will earn a college degree. 8 out of 10 teen dads will not marry the mother. 50% of all teen mothers are on welfare. 18% of abortions in this country involve teen moms. Does that do something for you? The statistics on youth crime is overwhelming. I couldn't even follow it. 1 in 3 black males will be in prison in their adult life. 1 in 7 Hispanic males will be in prison in adult life. 1 in 17 white males will visit prison once in their life. The material is available, and it was different from one source to another. Like I said, it was overwhelming. Of course, it was late too, wasn't it? I was so late. The addictions, the drug abuse, the alcohol, the painkillers, it's overwhelming what these kids do in high school. 50,000 deaths a year. A year. It's not about youth or children at this time. It's about the overall deaths. I heard it on the radio the other day. 50,000 deaths a year on opiates alone.
Yep.
Overdose. We have a problem.
That's right.
We have a problem. And it's not just in Chicago or Detroit or D.C. or Philadelphia. It's in Dover.
Right.
It's in Smyrna.
Right.
It's in Marydale.
Amen.
It's in Delaware. Amen?
Amen?
We have a problem. Compassion has everything to do with it. Don't you want to make a difference in someone's life?
Amen, brother.
If Jesus Christ was moved with compassion when he saw the multitudes, shouldn't we?
Amen.
Amen. If Jesus had compassion on the two blind men in Matthew 20, verse 34, the widow of Luke 7, whose only son was dead and Jesus raised him from the dead, shouldn't we? Compassion will make the difference. Now, I'm all about the bus ministry. Of course. I'm all about the kids coming to church. Just come visit my house sometime and there'll be kids there for the most part. I'm behind that 100%. I can stand here and testify one story after another for the last 20 years of being in the bus ministry. I'd be here all day. I hate using the term bus kid. I do. I hate using that term. It's funny because the other night my wife and I were talking about this, and she said, we're all bus kids.
That's right.
Yep.
The greatest bus captain who ever lived came by in that glorious bus. Yeah. Knocked on your door and asked you if you wanted to ride the bus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Greatest bus captain that ever lived.
Yeah.
Invited you to climb aboard that bus. We shouldn't be upset about the bus kids.
That's right.
When they come in here. The messes they leave on the buses. The messes they leave in the pews. The messes in the bathroom. The messes out in the playground. They leave messes. They're kids. They fight. They talk. They're disrespectful. We got to tell them to turn their phones off. I can go on and on and on about that. Whatever it might be, but we ought to have compassion towards them.
Amen.
We ought to have compassion towards them. It is only by the grace of God that you are not where they are. Let me say that again. It is only by the grace of God that you are not where they are. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. In August of 2007, I was working at a daycare in Dover. Rachel Vandruff was just hired, and we became close real quick. I knew that she was a Christian, and I started asking questions. She asked if she could start taking Maddie, who was 5 at the time, and Darren, who was 7, to church on the bus. I said yes, and the kids enjoyed coming and loved the people here. On September 18, 2007, at 1:30 in the afternoon, some room, Rachel Vandruff led me to the Lord because someone cared enough to pick my kids up on the bus. And now my husband and I are in church and been in church ever since then. Dave and April Heber.
Amen.
If not for the bus ministry, where would they be, Rachel?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Miss Judy, you heard her testimony last Sunday night. If not for somebody caring.
That's right.
They didn't come by on a bus, but they came by in a car, and we'll call it the bus ministry.
That's right.
Somebody came by in a car and showed her love and picked her up and brought her to church. Changed her life. Amen, Miss Judy? Changed her life. Some of you have been here years ago with Miss Lutrick, and I failed to write down some notes about it, but I do remember this. Miss Lutrick stood up here with her family, and she gave a testimony about how some bus captains came by and showed her love she never knew. The bus ministry.
That's right.
The bus ministry did that.
Amen.
There's countless, countless other stories. This is probably my favorite. If it weren't for the bus ministry, I began riding a church bus when I was a four-year-old little girl. April Tuck and Joe Tuck were running the bus. A few of my many siblings came as well. When I was still little, my family and I had some problems we ran into, and the end result was to move away. Well, some years passed, and about when I was 10 years old, I had found Faith Baptist again, and I began attending again when I could. Well, I began coming more and more, and eventually every church service, but only me, none of my siblings ever came back. Well, then my family wasn't happy about me spending so much time at church, and then began to fight me about church. But I never stopped fighting, and around when I was 13 years old, I moved out of my parents' house to better my lifestyle. My family was involved in drugs and alcohol to the point I stopped going to see them. They started to slow and calm down so I would come around more, and I did. Within the last year and a half, I became really close with my parents and family again, although I never stopped loving them. Well, here came the drugs again. My two brothers and my father were addicted to heroin. The drug was completely taking their lives over to the point my brothers were sent to prison and my father tried to commit suicide. My father was placed in behavioral health in Dover where he became sober, and with my brothers in prison, they are sober. With my family, something bad is always happening. 94 days of my father being drug-free, he relapsed and died on December 29th, 2016. Why did I say all that? I asked her to, for one. She did this. Because if it were not for the bus ministry, I wouldn't know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And would most likely be in sin like my family or dead like my father from drugs. The faithfulness of the bus ministry saved me from a lot. The Lord knew what he was doing when he sent the Faith Baptist Church bus to a little Hartley trailer with a little four-year-old girl named Amanda Wasser. That is a very importance of the buses going out every Sunday and picking up kids just like me, and why we plan things for the bus kids to do, such as kitty camp and all those other things, VBS, Fun Day and VBS. Remember, there are always souls that need saving. The Lord did it, not just for you, but for bus kids like me. And Wasser's lived in our house ever since. And she's like a daughter. She calls me dad sometimes. If it wasn't for the bus ministry, where would that little girl be? And she brightens up our life.
Amen. Amen.
I'm going to close here. When's the last time that you prayed for them bus kids? When's the last time? When's the last time that you gave towards the bus ministry? When's the last time that you wept over the bus ministry? When's the last time you asked for a name? You see a little girl, a little boy come in here. They look like they're lost. What's your name? Well, I'm Brother So-and-so. I'm Miss So-and-so. Why don't you sit right here next to me? When's the last time you encouraged one of them? When's the last time that you took one under your wings and got to know them? So you could pray for them. So you could love on them. So you could go by and visit them maybe. Here's one. When's the last time you showed up on a Sunday morning to hop on a bus? Go see where these kids come from. When's the last time that you showed up on a Sunday morning to help out on the bus? We're here at 8 o'clock. We have prayer and we head out. I'm always looking for workers. I have a bus sitting out there. It's empty, not being used because I have no workers. I have some drivers, but I have nobody who wants to go take a bus route over or an area over. How about the ride home? I know it's, hey, it's 90 degrees out there in that bus and ride home. You're going to get sweaty. You're going to get dirty. But guess what? Compassion. Amen? When's the last time? When's the last time you got up with one of these workers to head out on a visit on a Saturday morning? Hey, Miss April, what time you going out Saturday? Hey, Miss April back there, when you going out Saturday? Come pick me up at my house. I'll meet you here. I'll meet you there. Miss Jamie, they're in Florida, right? They're still in Florida, brother? She just took over the Smyrna route. Hey, Miss Jamie, when's the next time you going out? Let me go with you. When's the last time that you called or you stopped the bus director? Is there anything I can do to help? Amen? Amen. We ought to be about the Father's business. Amen. When's the last time? Compassion. Compassion will move you. If you're full of compassion, if you're saved, you ought to have the mind of Christ. The Spirit of God lives inside you. That's part of the Trinity, Brother Joe, like you said this morning. That's part of the Trinity. Guess what? You ought to be full of compassion too. Amen? Amen? Amen. You should be full of compassion. When's the last time? I'll close with this. Better yet, isn't it about time? Isn't it about time you get involved? Now, I'm all about the bus ministry, but there's other ministries in this church. Street preaching, teens, all those other different ministries that we have. It's about time you get involved in one of them. If not the bus ministry, get involved in one of them other ones. Amen? Amen? Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed.